chapter 18. As we've been going through the book of John for quite a while now, we are looking at truth confronting Pilate. The Word of God has taught us, and if you know the Word of God, you know it starts all the way from the beginning of time as we know it, where there has been a constant attack upon truth. Where truth prevails, let me tell you, in our day and time, somebody's going to stand up and speak against it. That started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. There was Satan, and he said, "Hath God said?" In other words, you need to doubt God. He goes on to say, "You shall not surely die." You know what? If God said you're going to die, you're going to die. No matter what Satan says. He's a liar from the beginning, is what the Word of God tells us. The truth is always under attack. And let me tell you, when someone attacks the truth of God, they're attacking God. Truth personified is Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. We find over in John's Gospel also, in the first chapter, the Word of God tells us, of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the one who has brought truth into our lives. He is full of truth. He's full of grace. John chapter 8, I want you to notice what it says. In John's Gospel, in chapter 8, down in verse 33, John chapter 8, verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed." Jesus was very simply saying, you believe in Me, you continue in believing in Me, you're My disciples. If you don't continue to believe in Me, you're not My disciples, is basically what He's saying. But here is a guarantee for us as Christians. If we persevere in the Word of God, if we continue in His Word, we are His disciples indeed. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered Him and said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. We read in God's Word that there is the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. He is called the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. But though we believe in truth, there are always those opposing truth. I want you to look at a couple verses of Scripture over in 2 Thessalonians, and then we'll get into our text in John chapter 18. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to notice what the Word of God says in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." These are those who stand in opposition to the truth of God's Word. The Word of God tells us they're going to perish. The Word of God goes on to say, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Word of God's pretty clear concerning those who are opposing the truth of God's Word. They're going to be damned someday. And then the opposite side of that coin we have in verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." There are those who believe the truth. There are those who are opposed to the truth. What we find in the text in John chapter 18, starting in verse 33, we see our Lord is the King of a spiritual kingdom. We see that truth reigns in that kingdom. We also see those who belong in that kingdom are those who love the truth and those who follow after the truth. I want you to notice first off the spiritual kingdom. Starting in verse 33, the Word of God says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Are you the King of the Jews?" Now what Pilate is looking for, he is looking for one who may have said he is the political king of the Jews. One who's in opposition to Pilate. And notice what Jesus said. He basically wants Pilate to clarify his statement or his question. Jesus answered and said, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it you of me?" Are you coming up with this question on your own, or are other people asking you or telling you these things about me, concerning me? He's trying to get him to clarify. Are you asking me if I'm a political king or a messianic king? Because he is the Messiah. He is the king. So notice what Pilate says in response to him. In verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done?" Pilate is trying to confront Jesus, and he asks him, "What did you do? Why are you here before me? You've got to be guilty of something. So what have you done?" I find Jesus' response very intriguing because he doesn't give him an answer of what he done. Notice how Jesus responds. Jesus says in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." My kingdom is not from here. So what Jesus is revealing here in verse 36, he has a kingdom. And he is the king of that kingdom, which he will reveal in this text also. Jesus is stating that he has a kingdom. He's revealing he is over this kingdom that he's talking about. He doesn't answer the question in verse 35, but what he's revealing is his kingdom is not of this world. That means it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not from here, is what he's saying. Now, I want you to think with me as he says this. As he's revealing a spiritual kingdom, he is not talking about his kind of church. Many people get words mixed up. Jesus has a kingdom. Jesus started his church. The kind of church Jesus started was a particular kind, and it's not equivalent to the kingdom. The kingdom is kind of a hard term to define. Kingdom, when you think about a kingdom, I've often said, a kingdom has a king and a bunch of dumbs. There is the domain of the kingdom, or where the king rules and reigns. That's why Jesus would say, "The kingdom of God has come near unto you, because here's the king." And you know what? Wherever Jesus Christ reigns in the hearts and lives of his people, that's where his kingdom is. He rules and reigns all over the world. That's our Lord. He is King of His kingdom in the hearts and lives of His people. But there is coming a day when His kingdom is coming, and there will be the put down of all evil, and He will reign over all. So there is a difference here. The kingdom is not the church. The kind of church Jesus started back in Matthew chapter 18, He looked at Peter and He says, "You're a little stone, but upon this massive stone I'm going to build My church." So Jesus Christ started His kind of church while He was here upon this earth. And that church is still in existence today because He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Jesus did not start a bunch of different kinds of churches. He started one kind of church. There are many in our day and time, and predominantly the majority of churches believe in different kinds of churches. Just to give you an example, there are many Baptists that would believe Jesus started an invisible church and a visible church. Well, you know what? I don't find that in Scripture. Jesus Christ started His kind of church. He started it while He was here upon earth, and He started it with His disciples, those first apostles. As He started it with them, there is the foundation of that church. It was the first church at Jerusalem. Many would say it's the first Baptist church at Jerusalem. Now, we don't find the Baptist church at Jerusalem in the Word of God, but we do believe they were Baptistic in doctrine. That kind of church Jesus started, other churches came out of that church. There were other mission points, and they developed into churches, and they were of like faith, the same kind. Down through the years, what has happened, man started different kinds of churches. Because of different beliefs and different doctrines, there were so many differences. That's why you have Methodists believed in Methodism. Presbyterians believed in Presbyterianism. That's a little pun there, but anyway, following after John Calvin's doctrine and Presbyterians and Church of England, then you got the Catholic Church with all of its rituals and everything started in time. You have all these man-made churches coming about because man started these kind of churches. But we believe the kind of church our Lord started, He started. Man did not start. So there's a big difference there. One is born into the kingdom of God. You remember Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And he must be born into the kingdom of God. When one is born again, they are born automatically into the kingdom of God. They're not automatically a member of a church or part of some invisible conglomerate. You remember the meaning of a church? The word church, ecclesia, very simply means assembly. An assembly is something that is assembled and you see it. If you don't see it and it's right in front of you, it's not assembled. It ain't there. You see what's assembled. You get what I'm saying. An assembly is something that is visible. For those who believe in an invisible assembly, I never have seen where it gathered. I don't know where to go where it's gathered, because it's never gathered. So it's never an assembly. You see how illogical. I'm talking illogically because it's illogical. Jesus started His kind of church. His church is still in existence today. His kind of church. We are not talking about the family of God. The family of God, I believe, consists of all the redeemed down through all the ages. They're part of God's family. But here in the context, we're talking about a kingdom. We're talking about a king in His domain where He rules and where He reigns. And He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's a spiritual kingdom. It's one that's not like the Roman government. And so Pilate is a little bit relieved to hear this. Pilate is listening to him. And this is the first time in the Gospel of John where John kind of elaborates a little bit about the kingdom of God. The only other time it's mentioned as far as in the Gospel of John. Now, in the other Gospels, the kingdom is mentioned frequently in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in John, what you find, it's mentioned here, kind of expounded upon a little bit, and over in John chapter 3. And let me just read those verses once again to you, though I quoted one of them. In John chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So the only way one can see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Then down in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Here, God's kingdom is talked about, but it's not elaborated upon in the Gospel of John that much. You find in John chapter 18, it speaks just a little bit more of it. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Romans chapter 14 and down in verse 17. In Romans 14 and down in verse 17, the Word of God says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." In other words, it's not of this world, but it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen to what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and down in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." His kingdom is not of this world. "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Listen to what it says over in the little book of Colossians, chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and we could go on and on with this, but I'll stop with this one. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Word of God tells us, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." You see, we were delivered from our sins and from the power of darkness, and God has put us in the kingdom of His dear Son. When one becomes a believer, when one trusts in Christ, they belong to the kingdom of God. Now, you know what I believe? It's their personal responsibility. They need to get into a church and serve the Lord through that church. Here, Jesus is basically saying, He's king, but His kingdom isn't from this world. He's not a political threat to Pilate, because notice what Pilate says back in our context. Back in chapter 18 and down in verse 38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." In other words, I don't find anything wrong with who he is. The Jews are making the accusation. Pilate says, "He's no threat here." Jesus' kingdom is not like any earthly kingdom. It is not like going forth, dividing and conquering, and see how much land you can get and how many people you can get under your control. That's not what Jesus' kingdom is like. Listen to what it says over in Daniel chapter 7. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, down in verse 13, the Word of God says this, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The kingdoms of this world will pass away, but the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is an everlasting kingdom. It will never diminish and it will never pass away. And as far as the king of that kingdom, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He sits, he rules, he reigns. I want you to notice, back in our context in John chapter 18, in John chapter 18, as Jesus said, his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and it's not of this world. Because if it was, then he would call his servants, they'd fight, and you know what? He would not be crucified. But that's not his purpose. That's not why he's here. Notice what he says in verse 37. His kingdom is built upon truth. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus here is explicitly saying, I am a king. He is saying he is a king, and Pilate knows he's saying that. It's not something he's trying to hide. He is a king. And he is the king, and that kingdom that he's got, it's built upon truth. He says, for this cause came I into this world, that I would bear witness. I should bear witness unto the truth concerning God. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. In other words, Jesus' kingdom is established and it flourishes because of truth. Truth in our day and time is kind of vague and wishy-washy with a lot of people. There is spiritual truth. And let me tell you something. God's truth is absolute truth. It does not change. There have been politicians that say, you need to change with the times. Let me tell you something. We don't change from the book. There are people who call themselves progressives. And that's even leaked into some Baptist churches. One kind of a renowned Baptist preacher says we need to do away with the Old Testament. I'm going like, you too progressive for me. We don't do away with God's Word. Spiritual truth is objective. It's absolute. It goes across cultures. You know, no matter what country I go in, as long as I got a translator, I can preach God's Word. And that truth will strike home in other cultures. It goes across cultures. You know what? It's truth whether one believes it or not. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't believe it or not because it still remains truth. Your unbelief don't change the truth. God's truth remains truth. It's not based upon a community. You know what? In our day and time, a lot of people say values are determined by the community. Let me tell you something. Our values are based upon God's Word. The truth remains. What this means, it rules out pragmatism. What is pragmatism? Boy, I had to look that word up one time for a class, and I thought, what in the world does this mean? I had a hard time trying to figure that out. Basically, what it means, what's good for you might not be good for me. Or what's right for you might not be right for me. And what's right for me might not be right for you. What's truth for you might not be truth for me, and we just need to tolerate each other. Well, let me tell you something. God's truth does away with pragmatism. It gets rid of that garbage. One day Sodom and Gomorrah is going to stand up and testify. Say, God's truth don't change. Man don't marry man, and woman don't marry woman. And if you've got a man that thinks he's a woman or a woman who thinks he's a man, you know what? They got some messed up thinking in the brain. You know what? That's a mental problem. It's a sin problem. They're going against truth. It's just like I said that magazine this morning with two homosexuals on there with a baby, and the title of the magazine is Family. Come on. You know what? That's going contrary. They're fighting the truth of God's Word. God's truth is not based upon a particular time period. That's what some politicians say. Well, that's old. You need to change with the times. Let me tell you something. Time needs to stick with the Word. People will be a lot better off. God is the author of truth. Truth is eternal. Truth does not change. Man cannot change truth. It's impossible for God to lie. God is the author of truth. God is the standard of truth. He's the judge of all truth. How sad. Government, politicians, societies want to push their values on us. They want to change truth. Let me tell you something. You can't change truth.
truth remains. I want you to notice who belong to this spiritual kingdom. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Those who belong to the spiritual kingdom are those who hear the voice of truth. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Why do we follow Jesus? Because we hear His voice through His Word. It's truth. Therefore, we rejoice in truth. We love truth. We follow truth. As Jesus is testifying to the truth right before Pilate, I want you to get this scene here. Pilate is trying to confront Jesus, and Pilate is confronted with truth. The roles are reversed on old Pilate here. What are you going to do with truth, Pilate? And you know what? Same thing with people today. What are you going to do with the truth? When you confront people with the truth of God's Word, how are they going to respond? Pilate, he responded in a bad way. Notice what he says. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And probably said it in a very contemptuous way. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. Didn't even want to hear what Jesus had to say. Jesus had already confronted him with truth. He says, "What is truth?" And then he goes back out to the Jews and says, "I find no fault in him." When we are turned from darkness to light, the Word of God tells us that we're sanctified by truth. The truth of God's Word sanctifies us, sets us apart. The Word of God tells us that we are called to practice the truth of God's Word. The Word of God tells us that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. The Word of God tells us that we're to speak the truth in love. Though we live in a world that wants to confront truth and change truth and deny truth, you know what? We're to speak out against the world, but we're to do it in love. We're not to argue. We're not to fuss. We're not to get hot around the collar and red in the face and take your Bible and whack them over the head. No, you got to speak the truth in love. And if you can't speak the truth in love, you need to get away. People need to hear the truth. You notice Jesus in front of Pilate. He didn't get all shouting and hollering and... Yeah, he didn't do all that, did he? He spoke the truth. Spoke the truth in love. You remember what the Word of God says as we're going through 1 Timothy. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. God has His churches today. It's still in existence. Why? Because it's the pillar. It holds up the Word of God, and it's the ground, the foundation of truth. We're to be holding forth the Word of life to a lost and dying world. You know what? That's our responsibility. We need to stir up that gift that's in us. We've got the gift of God's Word. You say, "I ain't got any gifts?" You know, I would just think about that. I don't know what my gift is. You got God's Word? That's a pretty good gift, ain't it? You need to be sharing that gift. Stir up that gift within you. Everybody, every one of us has got this gift. What does Paul tell Timothy over there in 1 Timothy? He warns them to confront false doctrine, false teachers. He tells them this is doctrines of demons. Let me tell you, anything that goes contrary to the doctrine of God's Word is the doctrine of demons. It's demonic. If there's false doctrine, it comes from demons. You remember what Paul said as we looked at that passage of Scripture this morning? Take heed unto yourself and what? Your doctrine. Watch it close. For by it you'll save your life and you'll save the lives of those who hear you. Pilate responds with what is truth.
in verse 38.
What is truth? Pilate was so blind he could not see truth right in front of him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is right in front of him, but he cannot see because he loves darkness rather than light. He loves his power, he loves his position. He loves his sin, and therefore darkness consumes him. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3.
In John chapter 3, down in verse 6 and 7, the Word of God says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I've said unto you, you must be born again. You've got to be born again to know the truth. If you're not born again, you're in spiritual darkness. And you know what? It's the Spirit of God that quickens a man. Man's dead in sin. And unless the Spirit of God quickens that man, he's going to remain dead in sin. Listen to what it says over in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, down in verse 26, the Word of God says, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. Hear what Jesus is saying. You were given to Jesus by God the Father, to God the Son. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones. Why? To stone him to death. Why would they try to stone Jesus to death? Because very clearly he's saying he is God. That's blasphemy to Jews. Next time Jehovah Witness come to your door, give them that one. You know why they tried to stone Jesus? Is because they considered what he said was blasphemy. He was saying he was equal with God because he's God the Son. Pilate says, what is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. Do you believe him? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know what Jesus sets us free from? The sins that we're in bondage to. I remember I used to walk the way of the world. My parents aren't here, so I can say it. I used to talk the way of the world. And don't y'all go home and tell them I've been... Okay. I used to live like the devil. Don't, he probably knows that. He tried to beat him out of me, but it didn't work. But what Jesus did, he set me free from the bondage of sin. He took my feet, and I was on slippery rocks. He put me on solid ground. And as I was given as a gift from the Father to the Son, he's kept me by his power. You know what? I don't keep myself. Though I need to take heed to myself, but I can't keep myself. He's able to keep me from falling. Jude 24:25. He's able. God is able. Our trust is in him. Our society we live in is pushing what's called moral relativism on us. And they're trying to squeeze us into their mold. That's why you're hearing just over the past few years of homosexual marriage. Now you know what? Society thinks this is right. And it's becoming more predominant in Lexington.
had a man the other day said, talking about his husband. I'm like, huh? You know what? That's society. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. It's what it says over there in Romans chapter 12. That's why we've got young kids that are messed up thinking they're transgender, and they think they're a man when they're a woman and they're a woman when they're a man. They don't know the difference. How do you get mixed up like that? Because of satanic doctrine, demonic activity. We can see it running rampant in our day and time. I looked up online just right before I left the house this evening. I looked up deviant behavior. And one of the articles I saw, just reading captions, it says, deviant behavior has become normal. And you know what? In our day and time, that's very true. For many people. But not for us who take a stand on God's Word. Don't be ashamed of the truth of God's Word. It hadn't changed. It's people that change. Driven by every wind and slate of doctrine. Unstable lives. Unhappy lives. They're in need of the Lord. How are they going to hear? Unless you tell them. How are they going to hear unless you speak the truth in love? You know what? You can turn people off talking to them. But if you speak in love, you know what? They might still be turned off, but you're doing what God says do. We need to take the Word of God. God's gift to us. And you know what? We need to share it with others. I'm not saying, get this. I've gone out visiting with many people at times, and some of them carry a big old Bible, you know, like a suitcase. And you don't need to do that. Hide God's Word in your heart. You know what? Over the years, people still got me pegged. Some of them, I hear kids say, church man's coming, church man's here, or something like that. You know what? We need to take God's Word to them. We don't need to come to them Bible thumping or anything like that. We don't need to beat them, browbeat them. We don't need to put them down. If not for the grace of God, there goes you. Therefore, we need to reach out with love and share Christ with the lost and dying world. May God give us grace to be a bolder witness. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious truth of your Word that never changes. And Lord, though this world changes constantly, and constantly in ungodliness, trying to force ungodliness and wrong ways upon us, Lord, help us to be bold and stand for the truth of your Word. The psalmist asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, we pray that you give us a holy boldness. Reach out and speak the truth and be faithful in speaking your truth in love. We pray you change hearts. Lord, we pray that you would help them to be receptive to your Word. If there's change going to come, Lord, we trust in you to do it. May you stir up a great revival in our hearts, that because of your goodness, we've just got to share it with others. Work effectually and mightily in our midst. And as we go forth in separate ways, Lord, we're all going to see different people. Help us to be mindful of the opportunities you give us. For Christ's sake, amen. their distance.